Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Oh, yes, Shannon Taggart joining us. We're trying to go through all these mysteries, the EVPs, the ectoplasm. Okay, another photo on your side. This is the home page, so it's got to be something that has some kind of real source there. Now, before I describe the picture, you'll know what I'm talking about, Shannon, when I talk about a music video. Back in the 1980s, from the album Cloud Nine from George Harrison, produced by Jeff Lynne, and on some of those tracks, Ringo played the drums, and this one he did. He sings When We Was Fab. And this was him recalling in kind of a drug-filled daze, the way the lyrics are written, his days with the Beatles. And during the video, you see a second set of hands come out. Okay? So it's kind of weird. Kind of weird.
Wow.
So, all right. Then I have a picture. It looks black and white, and it shows this long hand coming out of somebody's mouth. What's the story behind that?
Oh, yeah, that is an ectoplasmic manifestation by Kai Mugi, the medium I had mentioned earlier. And I made a stop-motion short film of that, of the, it looks like a glove or a hand just emerging from his mouth. And that's, you know, part of Kai's seance. And, you know, Kai has been studied by a few contemporary parapsychologists, one of whom is Stephen Browdy, the researcher, Stephen Browdy. And, you know, one of the researchers accused Kai of fraud. And so then he stopped submitting to such scrutiny, but that is an image of Kai. Hands seem to come up quite a bit in seances. There's a lot of famous spirit photographs of like emerging hands or hands that look like gloves coming out of mouths. And one of the stranger experiences I've had while photographing was of a medium named Gordon Garforth, who, when I first met him, he told me, "Oh yeah, ectoplasm changes the shape of my hands and my face." And when he told me that, he said, "You'll see in my seance." And when he told me this, I was kind of skeptical, because sometimes people tell you you're going to see things in these situations that you don't end up seeing. So I went with an open mind, but I was, you know, I wasn't expecting anything. And I sat in the front row, and he was under a red light, and it was a pretty bright red light. And about 20 minutes in, his wife said, "Okay, well, now Gordon, they're going to work with his hands and change the shape of his hands with ectoplasm." And Gordon, the medium, held out his hand and just moved it in front of his body, and it looked as if it just skipped into this huge, gigantic hand. And it did not look like a trick. It looked as if his flesh just transformed into this big hand. And then, you know, a minute later, it was back to normal. And when this happened, I screamed inside the seance room. And you know, that's very impolite to do in a seance. And it's really, you know, you can get in a lot of trouble for doing that, because it supposedly will bring a medium out of a trance. But I couldn't help it because it was so shocking. And then everybody else in the room started screaming too. And I was thinking, are they screaming because they see this gigantic hand, or are they just screaming because I screamed? And, you know, did I hypnotically render this hand because it was suggested to me? You know, I did take a picture, and I was convinced after I got out of there and looked at my camera that it would be a small hand, and that, you know, I would have just kind of hallucinated. But when I did get the image back, it was a gigantic hand, and I cannot explain it. People tell me it looks like a glove. It did not look like a glove when it happened. It looked 100% real with my when I was looking with my eyes. It was very magical.
So you look at this and you think, that's a real hand. I can go over there and shake the hand.
Yeah, it looked like one of those gigantic, you know, when you go to a football stadium and they have those big hands, like they wave those big foam hands from the crowd. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it looked like one of those big foam hands. It was so scary. I mean, scary in like this, and not like, you know, I didn't think the medium was going to do anything bad or anything like that. It was just visually shocking. I mean, really, truly shocking. It was one of the most shocking moments I've had that I've encountered over these, you know, now it's 20 years I've been working on this. And, that was pretty memorable.
Now, during this time, did the medium feel anything? I mean, if something comes out of my mouth, in my throat, and I've had examinations of my vocal cords, where they stick something down, and I guess it's your nose, but it goes down there, and you think, my God, this is coming out of his mouth. What did he feel?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of, like Gordon, the man I just mentioned, like, he often says, you know, he doesn't remember what happens when he's in trance. So, it's hard
Maybe
to know.
Maybe he's better off.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just a very, I don't know how to explain it, but I love that the picture is mysterious. You know, one person looks at it and says, oh yeah, it's obviously a fake glove. And another person looks at it and says, it's obviously your camera blurred and the hand was moving and it just looks like a big hand. And then other people say, I bet you his hand went big. I love that, it's up to the interpretation of the viewer, and that there's some mystery to the image.
Now, besides the picture that you had talked about earlier with the doppelganger face, were there any photographs that you took that, the circumstances, you didn't see anything, everything seemed relatively normal, but then after you developed the photograph, you're like, well, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the early moments was I was photographing in the Lilydale Museum, and there was a woman, Dorothy, who was working, she's now passed, Dorothy Priest. She was working in the museum, and I was taking pictures of her, and I was shooting film at the time, and in two different frames on two different rolls of film, where I got this huge purple orb, and it was right on her shoulder. So it was at the same part of her body in both frames, but different rolls of film and different areas of the frame. So I couldn't figure it out, and I printed the pictures and I brought them to her, and I said, you know, when I was taking pictures of you, I got this weird purple orb. And she took the pictures in her hands and looked down and like sat there for a long time staring at him and said, oh, that's Bob. And she meant her deceased husband, Bob, had appeared in this as this purple orb. And before that, I had never thought there would be any meaning to photographic anomalies like that. I had never even considered that. And in fact, in photo school, they teach you to try to get those things out of your picture as much as possible, you know, control for flare and light leaks and all those sorts of things. And so, that was one of the earlier moments early on.
And that kind of anomaly had never showed up with using that camera before?
No. And in fact, you know, I know, have you ever had an orb photographer here on the show as a guest? Because I know that currently orb photography is quite popular.
Well, you know what? What we have had, and this is a devil's advocate position, people who say the orb photos are very much flashes in the lens. There's no physical thing there. It's just like an illusion created by the reflection of light. But that's another story. That's about as close as we've come, unfortunately. Shannon, Jean, and Tim, what kind of voice will he present this time? You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Shannon, unfortunately, that's as close as we've gotten. The suggestion that there's no separate phenomenon there. It's just reflections in the lens.
Yeah, there's a lot of literature out there about orbs, and there's even some physicists, I believe their last name is Heinemann, and they claim that they could get orbs still in a clean room. So I would consider, I discovered actually in my research that orb photography is pretty much like the main form of spirit photography of today. You would think that there's no such thing as spirit photography, but yet there are a lot of people doing different types of experiments, and the most popular type is orb. So the orb practitioners, they're not really that concerned with people saying it's dust or water or, you know, light. They want to interact with the orbs. So what they do is they do a technique called orb calling, where they'll just be in a room and they'll just start asking for the orbs. And so the first pictures don't have any orbs, and then the orbs will fill up the room, or they'll command the orb to, okay, show up on my hand, please. You know, the interaction, the conscious interaction is the point of the orb photography. Now, a lot of people will also say that the reason people are getting orbs is with these cheaper, general cameras with the small sensors, and they have flashes right near the lens. Now, I have a large camera, I have a Canon professional camera, Mark IV, and it has a huge sensor on it, and when I use the flash, it's not as close to the lens, and I don't normally get orbs. It would be incredibly rare that I would be in a professional situation and get an orb.
Of course, most people, Shannon, these days have Samsung or iPhone cameras.
Right.
And those cameras are remarkably sophisticated. I mean, not the controls of like a separate digital SLR or something, but you could make movies with them.
Right, but they have a different sensor. So the sensors are smaller, so you'd be any dust would appear larger, and also where the flash is positioned, even on the iPhone, is you're more apt to get an orb or something like that. Let's say, but I when I've observed the orb photographers working, they're not doing anything tricky, or they're not shooting into light or dust or anything. They're actually trying to use their consciousness to call these orbs in and make them appear in the pictures. And I was in Sardinia for a spiritualist conference, and the people who were hosting were orb photographers. That's part of their experiments. And they said, okay, well, we go into the mountains where there's sacred land and we get orb photographs. And they showed me these orb photographs with just these frames filled to the brim with orbs. And I thought, wow, those are amazing. I've never, ever gotten anything like that before, ever. And I'll come with you and I'll bring my camera, but I'm not going to get any orbs. And the host said to me, oh no, if we go into the mountains and we say our prayers, you will get orbs. And so I brought my camera, I followed them into the mountains, they said their prayers, and I took a few shots. And one of those shots, I have orbs over every square inch of that frame. And it wasn't a dust storm, and it wasn't, there weren't bugs, and it wasn't raining. And I sincerely don't know how I made that picture. But I love the picture because it's really mysterious to me. And as far as you can zoom in on that file, it's orb upon orb upon orb upon orb. So that was another one of my really interesting photographic synchronicities.
Yeah, of the photos that you publish, do you include the meta tags?
You mean like on the internet? My metadata? I mean, yeah. Some of them might have it. I don't purposely leave it in, but some of them might still have it. But
it'd be hard to print that in the book, though.
Yeah. I don't print the metadata in the book.
No, it's just something that you have that's attached to the file, sure.
Yeah. All of the images in my book, I should say, it's anything that's present or any effect is in camera. I'm not like using Photoshop or anything. I'm not interested in that. It's all it's all done through, you know, an exposure with my camera.
Do you do any editing at all to enhance the brightness and contrast?
Yeah, I do enhance brightness and contrast, and I do adjust color and, you know, burn in edges. Yeah, anything you can do in a traditional darkroom, I would do in Photoshop. And I learned in a traditional darkroom. I didn't learn on a computer. So I'm bringing I keep in that way, you know, I just use Photoshop as like a digital darkroom.
Right, as many of us do, yes. I did work in a traditional darkroom, too. I had one in my room, in the second bedroom of the apartment that I lived with my parents back in the 60s, early 60s. And I set it up with the hypo, that's the fixture that retains the image and makes it permanent, and the odor that it made. Yeah. It was not very terrific. I just wonder what it did to my lungs. No after effects, I don't think. But my mom tolerated it. Now, I never did color. I did black and white. But anyway, yeah. Speaking of cameras, equipment, and things like that, and we've got just a moment left with this segment, then we'll go into the next segment, and that is, what kind of equipment have you used over the years for this?
Well, I started out with 35 millimeter film, and then I shot for one season with a medium format, Mamiya 645, which was also film. And then after I abandoned the project and then picked it back up, I was doing digital, using digital. So, and it is, people say, okay, what's best? You know, any kind of camera you want to experiment with is, you know, it's just about what you're most comfortable with. And I don't think any camera, whether it be a user-friendly digital or an old-school film camera, I don't think any of them are more or less apt to pick up paranormal phenomena. They're just, you know, different tools. But in spiritualism, often in seances, they're sitting under red lights. And, you know, shooting color film and then printing in a color darkroom was very difficult for red and black. And so even some of my earlier pictures, I was able to get a lot more detail out of it after I scanned them. And then even with digital, you know, you can go into the shadows and pull out more detail, and you can go into the highlights and get even more detail. So I am thankful for digital for that. I can get more detail out of the situations.
More of the situation in a moment with Shannon, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Peace talks continue between Russia and Ukraine as the Russian invasion of Ukraine enters its 11th day. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, speaking in Europe on Sunday, says countries around the world have to support refugees.
The burden has been on neighboring countries, like the Republic of Moldova, like Poland and others, that are the immediate responders. What we're seeing now is the international community join in to support support these countries.
At least six people are dead after a tornado rips through Madison County in southern Iowa. The National Weather Service saying the EF3 tornado had wind speeds of 136 miles an hour and touched down Saturday afternoon 30 miles southwest of Des Moines. Iowa's governor issuing a disaster proclamation for Madison County. USA Radio News. Republican governors continue to call on President Biden to increase U.S. energy production following the Russian invasion of Ukraine. CBS News saying 25 of the nation's 28 GOP governors have signed a statement urging the Biden administration to reverse his policies and restore America's energy independence. A new Rasmussen poll asked Americans, if a war breaks out in Europe, should the United States military be involved? 49% of voters said yes. The breakdown of the yeses by income level was significant, however. 37% of those making under $30,000 a year said yes, as opposed to 66% of those making $200,000 or more. Crews in Florida are battling 150 wildfires that are burning on over 12,000 acres. The Florida Forest Service has issued a wildfire risk statewide. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
To amplify on that question, Shannon Taggart, what brand names of equipment, names and model numbers, did you use over the years?
I think I started out with a Canon AE-1, which is an incredibly old school, you know, manual 35 millimeter camera. And now I'm using a Canon Mark IV, which is, you know, a big professional camera that also shoots video. And, I use a tripod. And in between, I think I mentioned I used a Mamiya 645 at one time.
So this is very traditional in terms of photography. It's not your iPhone or your Samsung Galaxy. It's a real camera. I mean, they're real cameras, too. We understand that. But the standalone camera does a lot more.
Yeah, and one interesting thing I did experiment with during the course of this project is I converted a regular camera into an infrared color camera. So there is some infrared color images within the book that, you know, and an infrared camera, you can shoot in complete darkness as long as you have an infrared light source. So, you know, everything could be pitch black, but you can still take a picture. And I did experiment with some of those.
You say you converted. Does that mean a mechanical change, a hardware change?
There's places where you can send, you know, you have to have a regular digital camera, and then you send it out, and they take out part of the sensor. You have to destroy the camera pretty much to build it, but you know, it then becomes a permanently infrared camera. So you have to have a camera body that you're willing to convert that way. But you can also buy infrared cameras. And I know that there are point and shoot features for infrared, especially on video. And then there's some people in seances who are using heat sensor cameras. That's one thing I have not experimented with yet, but I would love to. And there's a lot of mediums who play around with those heat sensing cameras. And I think there's some apps even maybe for the iPhone that you can get for heat sensing.
Maybe we can go cover this for a little bit. And by the way, Shannon will also be sticking for after the PowerCast, our premium show. But right now on the regular episode of the PowerCast, I'd like to ask you here, any hints and tips for listeners out there who say, you know what, I'd like to see if I could do this?
Well, my hint or tip would be to find a group of like-minded people who you enjoy spending time with, who also want to experiment, and bring some play and some fun and some sincere camaraderie to it. I'd also advise that you work with people that you trust when you do this. Yeah, I mean, I think that my favorite parts about experimenting with ITC was the fun and the interactions with the other experimenters. And I also worked with people who had very sincere practices, who were very serious about, you know, trying to get results. And that's always fun and interesting, being around people who have a sincere practice. So, you know, finding people who inspire you or you like to be around would be a big element. And then also staying in the spirit of experimentation and play.
What's your husband think about all this?
He's open-minded. He's kind of agnostic. He thinks it's interesting for sure, and he's a big supporter of my work. And every year in Lilydale, New York, I host a symposium, and that's listed on my site, and he supports me and comes with me for that. And so for anybody interested, I do host some online events, but also a live event every summer in Lilydale, and you can join my mailing list to find out more about that. And and if you join the mailing list, you'll also find listings about the new book. And then I'm also working on another book that should be out in fall 2023. So I encourage anybody who's interested to sign up for my mailing list and go to my site, shannontaggart.com.
The new edition of this book, will it be changed at all or just a reprinting?
It'll be a redesign. So the original book was a horizontal book with a photo inset on the front, and this one will be vertical. And we haven't finalized the cover yet, so it'll be the same content. There will also be an extra text essay, and probably that will be illustrated with images. But for all my material will remain the same, and the illustrated essays and the foreword by Dan Aykroyd will remain the same.
Talking about technology real quick here, you worked with a medium by the name of Sylvia Howard, and she was using at one point the Xbox Kinect.
Oh, yes. So Sylvia Howard is this amazing medium who I've known for a long time now, and she is a spirit artist, and also she experiments with technology. So she does drawings and paintings, and she hand makes spirit trumpets, and she's just, you know, she's just astounding. She makes all different types of seance objects, but she also is just has this amazing way of being experimental with different technologies. And so she was using an Xbox camera the last time I was at her home, which is, for anybody who does gaming, it's like there's a program that has a motion tracker, and you can have the tracker track your body. And so it's a tracker that looks like a stick figure, and it only should move when you move your body. So what Sylvia will do is she will sit in her medium's cabinet, which is like, you know, this little structure that mediums build to build up energy. And she'll have the Xbox Kinect camera filming her as she sits in the cabinet. She'll go into trance, have the motion tracker track her body, and then request that it move on its own without her moving her body. And I've seen it do it. It does do it. So I don't know what's happening there, but it was really, really fascinating to watch. There's a picture in my book where Sylvia has the tracker shake hands with my friend Donna, who's also in the room, even though she's not moving her body. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, I've seen ghost hunters take those out in the field, and will get images, you know, of this tracker tracking something sometimes invisible, sometimes even interacting, you know, with the ghost hunters. And we had a guest on, it's been a few episodes ago, Gene, that he was actually a beta tester for, I think it was this device. It may have been another one, but I guess that the, software engineers who were monitoring couldn't figure out. They were seeing like these dark blobby shapes floating around in the background of his house, and his house had been experiencing all kinds of bizarre poltergeist experiences at the time, and yet they could see these strange things in the background but couldn't figure out what was going on.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's interesting how technology has been brought along for these mediums and how they've taken advantage of this. I mean, you know, you talked about EVPs and ITC, despite the fact that we're, you know, like in a scientific modern society, we're able to use these devices for things like spiritualism.
Yeah. And spiritualism has a long, long history with experimenting with technology. So since its early inception, I mean, the Fox sisters, who I mentioned earlier, who were the first mediums in the country, their coded knocking was nicknamed the spiritual telegraph.
You're going to have something here that's not a telegraph. It's just a couple of announcements. More to come with Shannon and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Ibarroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Shannon Taggart. Her book, Seance, is due to be republished in a different format. And you mentioned that you also have another book you're working on for 2023 release. What's that about? Another seance kind of book?
Well, it's a seance kind of book, but it's not my work. I'm working with an archive. I'm working with the sociologist James McLennan on the archives of SORAT. I don't know if either of you have ever heard of that group, but they were a seance group active in Missouri from 1961 until 2015. And Jim and I worked to save the archive. And so we're working on an illustrated book of that material.
If you go online, you can find videos of some of the experiments that they did with their, I can't remember the name of like the box that they had, you know, in the basement where things would move around, a pen would write messages, and they did some just absolutely amazing experiments.
Yes, yes. It's a really astounding archive of material. It includes audio, video, letters, the notebooks of the seances, and lots of photographs.
You had mentioned earlier the Surratt group from England. Now, they were able to produce images on rolls of film that were, I don't know how to explain it to you properly, but the images would go across the film, not on the separate frames, but just appear across the entire roll, you know.
Yeah, the Skoll Group in England, and they were active 1993 to 1998, and they did a lot with photography. Yeah, they had these rolls of film that they would put in this lockbox and then develop it and come out with this scrolled writing. And I asked Robin Foy, who was one of the architects of the Skoll experiment, if he was aware of Surratt, and he said yes, they indeed were, and that a lot of the researchers who studied Skoll also studied the Surratt group, but the Surratt group was a much, much longer endeavor, and they acquired, you know, produced a lot more material just because of the length of time they were at work.
Yeah, on my previous show, Exploring the Bizarre, we had an author on, and now, of course, his name slips me, but he actually spent a lot of time with that group in St. Louis, wasn't it?
It was in Rolla, Missouri. Maybe that was James McLennan, Jim McLennan, who was my collaborator.
Yes. So. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. That was the gentleman, and he was a great guest. But, I mean, his experiences with that group, you know, it makes fascinating reading in his book. And especially the way that he got involved with them, you know, kind of like you with your photography. I mean, he went in looking more for, you know, like a societal type of situation, and then came out of it just kind of bemused on what was actually going on.
Yeah, Jim's book is called The Entity Letters, and it's absolutely excellent. I highly recommend it, and it's been a real trip working with him on this because, you know, he's been involved with it now for SORAP, for studying the group for over 40 years. So I've learned a lot from him, and what I'm bringing, you know, I'm kind of an expert on photography, so, you know, being a professional photographer and also being somebody who studied the topic of paranormal photography. So I'm doing the edit of images, and there'll be some text with it as well.
In the course of all this, you also still do regular photography, right?
Yes, I do. But mostly right now at the moment, I'm just working on, I'm actually working on three books. I'm also currently working on, so I'm working on the reissue of Seance and then the Sorat book. And then also I'm working on a sequel to Seance.
Ah, what areas do you think at this point you'd like to cover that you didn't in the original book?
Yeah, you would think that because the first book is so big that I would have gotten everywhere, but I have a full outline of things that I want to explore. And among the topics are the topic of spiritualist architecture.
Spiritualist architecture?
Yes, yes. So
what
there,
precisely would that mean?
So that would be buildings that were made through designs given from spirits to people who then, you know, people who built buildings claiming that the plans came from the spirit world.
So does that explain Frank Lloyd Wright?
No, I don't know if Frank Lloyd Wright was, Frank Lloyd Wright wasn't a spiritualist as far as I know.
No,
but
he were. He's an architect, though.
Yeah. But
I'm kind of kidding here because his designs were very unusual.
Yes. But the spiritualist architecture is extremely unusual. There's a house in upstate New York, and I forget the name of it, but a lot of is written about it in Jocelyn Godwin's book Upstate Cauldron, which talks about the burned over district. There's a property in Romania that is a really great example of spiritualist architecture. There's the San Jose Mystery House, which many say is not an example of spiritualist architecture, the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose. But I would argue that it likely is an example of spiritualist architecture. And, you know, you could make the case that the widow of Winchester, I mean, she was in a seance room channeling the plans from spirits. So I don't know why that wouldn't qualify as a spiritualist architecture, but there is debate about how to classify that structure.
Is there anything in general one looks for to determine this is spiritualist architecture?
Well, it would just be the story behind the property where people are openly saying that the plans came from the spirits. So, you know, that's just one of the topics. I've also been doing some experiments online using Skype or FaceTime or Zoom and making pictures through that technology and, you know, experimenting with time and space in the digital realm and with photographs. And some of that work was recently shown in Rochester, New York as its own show. And then, you know, I have a laundry list of other things that I'm going to explore, and it'll all be different. But I think there's enough material for a sequel.
Now, where you do your exhibits, that's in Minnesota?
Right now, my book is actually as traveling as an exhibition. It was just recently shown at the University of Maryland at Baltimore. And there's a show just about the book seances. That's traveling to the Pensacola Museum of Art, and that will open in fall 2022. And then it will travel on to one or two other venues after that. You know, then I'm going to be involved in another exhibition in Winnipeg in the fall. So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of exhibits as well as books. So it's been keeping me busy.
And now, of course, with the hope that COVID is fading, maybe you'll go to more places. For listeners who want to know more about what you're doing, by the way, Shannon will be back for After the Powercast. Where do they check out your work?
Everything about me is on my website, shannontaggart.com, including my Instagram and Twitter links. And I have a mailing list where I update about events and books and projects and exhibitions. And that link is right on my site as well.
And Tim and I have 1,001 more questions to ask you about your studies into the world of spiritualism and seances and stuff like that. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Powercast. Also check us out on Facebook. But you will find that, unfortunately, the URL for the Powercast.com, like Tim's site, conspiracyjournal.com, is not allowed on Facebook because they don't know any better. That's where it is. You can also find branded merchandise with the T-shirts and the caps and the throw pillows and all that good stuff with 4 different logos. At theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop, our premium show After the Powercast is included. When you subscribe to the Powercast Plus, you also get this show free at the network ads with enhanced audio. For more information, check theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. And special deal, folks, if you use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, we give you a 20% discount on 5-year or lifetime subscriptions to the Powercast.plus. Shannon Taggart, thank you for joining us on the Powercast.
Thank you for having me.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.